Blog Talk Radio.
Thank y'all. I want to just start by saying, first of all, let me tell you, introduce myself. My honorable name is Kavonza Teasley, but due to my black consciousness, I go by the name of Righteous Arvell. The talk for the day is basically why education is the key to freedom. You know, I want to just discuss that with y'all and have just an easy and cool dialogue with y'all about certain things about education and why it's so important in our communities more than anything. Before I do that, I just want to thank the people who's listening and thank you so much for tuning in and understanding where I'm coming from, because listening is, first of all, one of the first keys to education, because to knowledge is to know, look, learn, and observe. Things that we just got to start implementing while we start beginning our educational journey. Me personally, I deal with a lot of things dealing with prison lives matter. You know, mostly everything I do right now is because I'm so caught up in this movement that it became embodied in me, because I know it's a purpose. And people who have helped us with this prison life movement, such as, I'm going to just call a few names, like Wes Bellamy, who came into the prison system and gave a speech, you know, doing Kwanzaa or doing Black History. You got Anna Edwards, Phil Waco from the Richmond Defenders. Then you got Miss K, who banged against Virginia policies and unjust treatment all day, every day. I mean, this lady is beautiful. Then you got Latif Tyree, who came, he gave speech. You know, he voiced his opinion and he gave us speech and gave us some educational word and wisdom to live by. Then you got sisters like Zoe Spencer and Nashonda Battle, here from Virginia State, and gave us a speech and basically gave us some more education. This is a thing that makes prison lives matter, because they came in just to show us some love and educate us what they know. That's a part. That's one of the basic foundations, you know, when you're dealing with prison. And the reason why this is a big deal, because this is the pipeline that gives us the opportunity to give back to our community and our youth, because the youth are victims of this, whether you want to believe it or not. They are victims to come to prison. These are the things that we got to understand, that when you're dealing with prison lives matter, you're dealing with a movement that not just constitutes who we are, but constitutes our human beings. Because it's where all lives matter. It's not just a race thing when you're dealing with prison. You're dealing with people who are of all color, who have fallen victim to this capitalist mentality, because the prison industrial system or the complex does not always constitute a race. But their concepts and their ideologies was based on race, you know, because of the fact that we went from plantations to prison. And a lot of, and when you're dealing with the, I'm going to say the popularity, or you're dealing with the commodity of it all, then you know you got more blacks in prison than any other race on this in America. So that is an issue, but we'll get to that. You know, let's just not base on that, but we'll get to that. Now, what I really want to base on is the education more than anything. So we got to understand what education really means. It means to bring out. It means to come into a point of what are you going to do with your life. When you start thinking about how you move, how you act, how you think, when you walking around on the streets, taking care of business that you so-called saying, you tell your mother, you know, you at a young age, you starting to feel just the world in the streets. Education all plays a part in that, because that's why in school it's the foundation of the start learning about your emotions and start learning about your adversaries, because you got a lot of peer pressure, a lot of things coming at you in school, and this is the beginning of life. This is when you start learning yourself. You start coming into yourself of who you are. And you start being a teenager and you start thinking, oh, I can do this and I can do that. You start making drastic decisions that can change your life forever. Prison doesn't have a number. They really coming at you from the 13 on up. And when that system come at you, which is designed to come at you from 13 to 18, they're going to get you, because they all just sitting back waiting for you to make one mistake. You know, it's an old saying that you can make a thousand, the law can make a thousand mistakes waiting on your one mistake. So these are the things that you got to think about. Why am I going through these emotions? What is going to make me react to doing something that's going to cost my whole life. I'm sitting in the courtroom, now I got 50 years. You know, these are the things that you got to start thinking why education is important. First of all, education is important because if you educate yourself in school, dealing with the law, or learning about prison, that's one fact that you can get yourself out of these situations if you do come. See, a lot of people don't think about that. You got all these gangsters, so-called thugs, just walking around, want to be hard, want to be gangsters. I done been there, done that, and don't know nothing about the law. So when they get up in that courtroom, they just like cowards. You can see them walking in the courtroom, and the real thug is the man behind that robe and that gal. Because he's telling you exactly what's going to happen to you, and there's nothing you can do about it. This is the type of submission that you want. And I don't think nobody would want to be subjected to this type of mentality, man, because it's a conform mentality. We got to understand that when racism was deep-rooted in us, this is when the Constitution started coming, the 13th Amendment. You got to start learning these things because you got to wonder, okay, why the 13th Amendment still exists, first of all? Why is it that when it came from the founding father, why is it that through capitalism and racism that when the 13th Amendment was implemented in the industrialization of institutional privatization, why in the world is y'all still having this amendment enforced in America? You got to think that was a mindset. Look at the language, people. Look at the language of the 13th Amendment. You know, and you got to understand why we haven't challenged this Constitution to this day. They telling us that unless it's voluntary servitude or punishment. So this is the thing that we got to understand. Why they put these drugs? Why are we selling drugs? Why are we hating? Why are we killing our people just to come inside this society or come into these prison walls that they call a society in here because there's another world once you get in here? Why is it that we are so conformed to this reality? Why is it that prison is like a second home to us? Why didn't we come in here, we went from projects to prison, and we walk around like it ain't nothing? That's a sick mentality to think that prison is nothing. Prison is to destroy your mind mentally and emotionally. If you wonder why you have a psychological effect when you walk in these doors and people start doing things to hurt themselves, to harm themselves. Because prison is plays a part in your mental that will destroy you, takes away from your family, your heart. It makes you other than your own self. It takes away your morals because of the fact that you start seeing so much thing, man, and seeing so much in this prison, it's unbelievable that it'll make a person sick. And if you're not strong, these are the things that you have because the slavery part is deep-rooted in you. It's so foundated in you that we just think that fear. We look at it as being fear. Man, when fear starts constitution education, fear is nothing. Fear doesn't make you nothing but submissive. You got to think, man. You know, look at the language again, servitude. Just think about the word servitude. You know, this is condition. Servitude is basically about a prophet of another or a person who has lost control of himself and can be dominated by another. That's right alone. That is enough information for you to say to yourself, hold on, why am I being dominated? I'm supposed to be the king. I'm supposed to be the queen of the nations. I'm supposed to be the one and only. You know, I'm the black man, the original man. This is what you study when you say you study black history. This is what you go far. You go far 25,000 million years. You know, you start thinking about, okay, people have been on this planet so long. Why is it now that we are so-called submissive? Why is it now that we can't get back, we can't get past the hood? We got millions and millions of years of history, but we can't get past the hood. We can't get out that little box. We are slaves of a mental death and power and don't even realize it. We are victims of mass incarceration and don't even realize. We just think we go hard. I go hard in the hood. Yeah, yeah, what? Man, I got all these girls. I got this money. Man, I got these girls running around here doing whatever I tell them to do. Man, you are being pimped in the worst level. You don't even realize the mentality that the people have and set for you to think like drugs in your community. It was for to destroy you. It's for you to have something so you can't live in a it's like a third world country, so you won't be too broke. So we will provide something for you to eat, provide something for you to survive. And now, look, this is what you get out of it. You get a one-way ticket to prison. You get a one-way ticket to the rest of your life behind bars and a solitary confinement. To say to yourself, man, I wish I wouldn't have did it. to live with regret. That's hell. Man, sometimes I sit back and I'm in prison looking at myself, and sometimes I sit back and say, damn, is it really that bad? Am I in hell? You know, what am I doing in here, man? These are the regrets and the things that I got to live with that's repetitive in my head day in and day out. This is why I'm speaking to you. This is why prison lives matter so much. Because we are nothing but commodities of cargo, like we were back in the slave trade. It's a supply and demand. We provide everything that they supply, and they demand us to be locked up. The generation, basically, they're generating capital wealth in American government. This is the definition of slave trade. See, you just thinking, okay, we're not in physical slavery no more. They're not whipping us. Well, they are. They are whipping you even worse, for real. This is worse than just the physical slavery, because these are physical slavery we knew we was going to get. That's like if your mother getting ready to beat you. Okay, are you good with that? You can stand a little 5 minutes of pain, but you're getting a little beaten. Then you're running back doing whatever you want to do. That's why whipping is not necessary. You thought it was, but I was just trying to implement fear. Now they didn't got it. They didn't indoctrinate our minds. What worse slavery than that when we thinking that it don't exist? That's worse slavery than all. Man, listen, I was so ignorant when I was coming up, first of all. I was so ignorant to everything that I thought that I was everything. That's how ignorant I was. Because when you're dumb, you don't want to learn. See, everybody's ignorant in certain states because everybody don't have the ability to learn everything it is in this world. So we all ignorant to something. But you dumb when you don't want to learn. I was walking around with the gun with my whole life in my pocket because I thought I had a bankroll. That was all I had, no money in the bank, no nothing, just whatever I got under that rubber band. And I thought I was the man because I thought, yeah, this is what it was. And not knowing that I'm playing right into their hands, not knowing that I'm a pawn in the biggest chessboard in the world. They are pushing me all the way to the edge to get killed. I'm sitting there running around. I'm ducking bullets. Man, I done been through so much. I done put the gun. I done shot. I done did everything I could do, man, to my own black people, robbing, hurting them, stabbing, shooting. It doesn't matter. I done did it all. I done got stabbed in prison behind some foolishness, behind a football game. See, these are the things that you got to understand. I done got beat by the police. You talking about groups and slavery and all that. We talking about what they did. You think they still not doing that in prison? That's why the language. Study the language and voluntary servitude. You still a slave when you come in prison. They drag you. They hogtie you. They gag you. And leave you there for hours. They put you in a five-form of strength. Beat you. You talking about in the slave ships when they was pissing and defecating on each other and throwing up. Well, when you're in a five-point straight for hours, what you think happened? I done pissed. I done did all that type of stuff on myself because I'm in a five-point straight. This is the mentality they get to when you get out of that. Your mind frame is, man, I want to do something to somebody. I want to hurt somebody. But you got to control your emotions. Because if you don't, guess what? You still be here for the rest of your life. So this is the mentality they make you do. They try to make you think. They try to make you think so hard where you beat yourself up so many times a day that you ain't got time for meditating. You ain't got time for yourself unless you make it. You got to really rehabilitate yourself. They have nothing to rehabilitate you for conditions like that, seeing the people do things to you like that. I done seen the worst of the worst. I done seen white people kill people in these mountains. Literally murder and get away with it. So our brothers on the street is not the only victims that's getting killed out there for Black Lives Matter or any Lives Matter. They're doing that to us in here. This is why it's important to know that this is not where you want to be. No one should want to be in a place like this. I don't care what you did in life. I don't care what it is that you might have thought that you deserve. You never supposed to deserve nothing like this because it's a torture. It's mental torture. It's psychological traumatization. We call it slave traumatic syndrome, STS. It's something that you have in your mind that makes you conform to this and actually tell yourself that it's never okay to be in prison. It's never okay to do wrong. like Martin Luther King said, it's always time to do, it's always the right time to do right. It's never a time to do wrong. Because that one wrong turn or that one wrong decision will land you in prison. And it could be the rest of your life. They got 85% law now. We fighting out like crazy in prison, not matter, Miss King, all fighting to get that off because young brothers and sisters out there and other people in the communities are on their way. And they're trying to build another prison after that because they don't want to let you go. They don't want to stop the violence for real. Ain't no war against drugs. It's a war against us in prison, man. They want to keep this money trade going. This is a money cow. One of the biggest industrial money, economic wealth in the world. And all we're doing is supplying them with everything they need, and that's us. Nothing else. It's us. It's a body. Once they put this body in here, it's over. Because now you got to survive. So guess what? If you do make 20-something cents an hour and you get 20-something, guess what? You got to feed yourself so that money going right back to the economy. Guess what? You like music? It's going right back to this JPL kiosk machine. Guess what? You like to buy a little concert because the food ain't nothing? Guess what? It's going right back. So your money, so therefore you still a slave because you're working for nothing. They just want you to feed yourself and get and stay healthy enough to keep living so they can get more money and more money and more money. But yet we don't even want to practice that for ourselves. We still live in a community that we don't even want to practice community well. Do you know that, man, we always ask for solutions. I'm going to tell you, I got a solution for it. I challenge the black man. Let's just say all the black people in America, let's just use 300 million. That's a safe number. 300 million black people. Let's say we put up $20 a month for just 1 year straight. That's $72 billion we'll have for the black community. Do we realize that, and we constantly keep it up, I didn't even think that far. We have $72 billion a year just off our black wealth because we love each other. We can set up an account where everybody can grow. If you need a bill to get paid, you can pay it. You need some help, there it go. Because everybody pitched in. Unity is the key to cooperative economics for principal quantum. Unity is the key to cooperative economics because the black wealth is so powerful, man. But nobody understands because we're living in a capitalist society. Everybody for themselves. You don't even understand that language. I'm speaking some foreign language to you right now when I speak about unity. We can help the indigenous people in America right now. We don't even got to keep on talking about what we could have did in the 60s or we had Malcolm X's father or Martin Luther King's father. We keep going back and forth. What about right now? There's so many ways to make money and to generate black dollar in our community that constantly goes around like they're doing with this prison system. The same way that money is constantly flowing through this system to keep us at cargo, then the same money can flow through our community and just get out of that material. Because we always say, stop selling drugs. You got all these so-called black athletes. Y'all don't need to stop selling drugs. Y'all need, but don't nobody provide a solution. Well, there goes a solution right there. If we were to generate some money for ourselves, we can actually get people out that potential because you got money in the bank. Oh, you can't get a job? Well, here you go. Here go to the loan, man, to get yourself back on your feet. You got all this money in the bank. Why we can't? And it's constant making money. You making yourself money. Your own $20 going in the bank, and guess what? You might be able to withdraw $20,000. Those $20 just became $20,000. You don't know. See, this is the mentality we got to have to start trusting each other first. Because you have people saying, "Oh well, no man, I don't believe people try to get more than this man." That's that mentality. We need. He always want to do this. He want this. He want more than him. He want to have. Sharon want to have. She want to buy a BMW. Man, are you serious? That's the problem right there. We keep trying to tell ourselves or trying to justify how we spend our money because we're trying to justify the wrong way, to look at it the wrong way. We're looking at a pessimist instead of looking at an optimist. We want to keep on telling ourselves what we can do and we can't do instead of just doing it. We quit to judge ourselves, beat ourselves up because they did it so many years. we quick to be derogatory to our own self, to our own sister. Just by using the different words like the B word or the N word to our brothers and sisters every day, man, that's a beatdown. That's a mental beatdown. You don't even realize that is a mental beatdown. Every day that you call your sister a B and you call your brother an N word, every day you doing that, you beating them down from being successful because he's looking at himself as that, or she looking at herself as that. And do you realize just the word queen or the word beautiful sister? Do you know what that do to a woman's spirit? Every time she hear that, she got to hear that from the same dude that she already probably scared or in the hood, and he is calling her a sister or a queen. That makes her want to be a sister or queen. Not her want to go out there and set her body and all that, and she considered as a queen. Her mentality would change. But as long as she's a B, it's nothing for her to get on her knees or get on her floor and do what she got to do because it's already in her mind to be a B. This is just the mentality right there. These little things like that, little things of that nature can change a whole perspective of how somebody feel, how somebody think emotionally, the psychological effect of a person, the way they act, the way they do, the way they even care to conduct themselves in society or in public. This would change the whole mindset of a people. Brother, you ain't even going to realize, I mean, yeah, man, we got our different egos, but just the word hearing brother, it's hard for me to do something to my brother. That's why. It's easy for me to do something to a nigga. Or a nigga, it's easy for me to do something to them. It's easy for me to say, yeah, look at that, and man, yeah, I don't care. But when I say brother, I'm kind of speaking kind of from the heart. Speaking a different language, like, man, I don't know. I think about this, man. I keep calling my brother out. At the same time, calling my brother, I want to actually hurt him. That changes a mindset. So we keep squeaking on them. Keep someone giving our hands off for them to feed us and do certain two things for us. We need to do that for ourselves. We can make so much things happen just by being who we are and love each other. Put the unity back, that emoji back in life, back in our customs, back in our traditions. That black love, man. And that's what our social equality will begin to start rising. And we don't even realize that's the whole key to wealth. That's the whole key to economical wealth. We would have so much, we would never have to sell drugs. We would never have to kill nobody for money. We wouldn't be robbing. We'll go back to, since y'all want to keep some of the 60s and all, we'll go back to that because that was the most, man, that was the most dominant force in history right there. I love the 60s, to be honest with you. But we can't just keep talking about the 60s and not being the 60s. Let's be the 60s all over again. Let's start loving ourselves. Let's start showing and proving, getting that black love, going to churches, feeding our young brothers and sisters, showing that we care, that our elderly, respecting the elders, bridging that gap between the youth and the elders. This is what we need to do, you know. And just for that, you know, I'm going to conclude with that because of the fact that it's not about just keep preaching. It's about the education of the people, man, because that's the freedom right there. You educate yourself with prison policies. You educate yourself with your own black history. And you educate yourself with self, knowledge of self, thinking before you do something, learning who you are. These are the three educations that you need. And you'll survive and you'll love again. This is why it's freedom. That's true freedom. Can't nobody hold you back. Because nobody going to have nothing to put you in confinement for. You would not, we hold back for that. So, brothers, man, and sisters, just continue to love yourself. Continue to be who you are. Get your mind right and start moving outward. Prison lives matter because it means something, because you don't want to come here. That's why it matters. I can't get no simpler explanation. It needs to stop. It needs to stop. The money, everything needs to stop. It needs to shut down, and we start going back to doing what we do, and that's being unified with one another. I appreciate everything y'all did by listening and learning or whatever you needed to hear from me today, and I would love to continue to talk, and I would love to continue to build and I would love to continue to give back as much as I can. From your brother in the struggle, Righteous Isaiah, thank you and good day.